Welcome back to Good Food.
The family that cooks together books together, isn't that what they say? While some fathers and their adult sons watch football or work on cars or play golf, Kevin and Jeffrey Pang prefer a more gustatory form of father-son bonding. They co-host a cooking show called Hunger Pangs for America's Test Kitchen. Apparently, this wasn't enough togetherness for them, so they decided to co-write a cookbook. A very Chinese cookbook features recipes that traveled with the Pangs in a dog-eared notebook when the family emigrated from Hong Kong. It also features recipes for popular American Chinese dishes coexisting side by side. Hello, Kevin, and hello, Jeffrey. Welcome to Good Food.
Thanks, Evan. It's so great to be here.
Hello.
Jeffrey, I have to start with you.
Okay.
What led you to start doing videos, eventually creating a YouTube channel?
I love to cook and love to eat. I was inspired by my mother, you know, and so that's why I try to pass my recipe to and teach my son how to cook, but they're not interested. So that's why me and my wife, Catherine, will try to use the YouTube to make some video to share our recipe to the other people. And also, I think Kevin and my daughter, Karen, will love to see it.
And Kevin, how did you first find out about the videos?
Well, I first got an email from my dad. It was one of those emails that I think I might have deleted within 5 seconds of looking at it, getting it, because that's what you do when your dad forwards you a YouTube link. And then it wasn't until weeks later that my mom said, "Hey, have you seen what your dad's videos are doing?" And I clicked on it and, you know, I saw a familiar hand and I heard some kind of a cheesy royalty-free music. And then I saw my grandma there for some strange reason. And it turned out they were making a video of our scallion pancake recipes. And, you know, it had so many views. It must have, like, you know, tens of thousands of views at that point. And I was completely flabbergasted. And then as the months went on, he would just keep making more and more videos. The view count kept going up and up, and I was in complete shock, to be frank.
I love this so much because usually it's the younger person who is dragging the older person along. In this case, he shamed you into it. How did the series Hunger Pangs come about?
Well, I had joined America's Test Kitchen about 3 years ago, and I think I must have passed along the story that I originally wrote in the New York Times Magazine about how my dad became this unlikely YouTube star, and I passed it to them, and I said, you know what? Well, what if we did a Chinese cooking show, but let's do it together? And I remember telling my dad about this. And Dad, do you remember? I'm trying to remember what your reaction was when I told you, do you want to be on camera? Do you remember how you reacted, Dad?
I thought you were just kidding me. I thought this is just a joke. I don't believe that.
And Jeffrey, for you, would that have been coming down in the world of YouTube or going up?
Well, I don't know. I mean, at this point, he had over, you know, a couple of million, you know, views to his. So I don't know if it would be a hit to his ego to be brought onto the level of America's Test Kitchen. I don't know about that.
but the million views is nothing right now. But that's about 10 years ago. So probably, you know, a million is okay on that time.
So, Jeffrey, tell us a bit about the family and where you came from and what Kevin grew up eating.
We came from Hong Kong. When I was 35 years old, I think I'm too old to move to the new country. So that's why the culture or language is my barrier. So that's why after I settled down in U.S., you know, my living style is totally different with my kid. They're very Western. I'm very traditional family man. I always make the Cantonese food in Hong Kong and even in Seattle, because the ingredient, you know, is easy to buy, you know, in Chinatown.
And Kevin, what was one of your favorite dishes that was on repeat?
There was a dish that we would eat all the time. I think it must have been every Wednesday. And it's called Portuguese chicken, which it sounds very strange, but to Hong Kong kids, it is like mac and cheese. It is what they would eat every, you know, on a weeknight. It's chicken, usually chicken thighs, and it would be cooked in this creamy coconut milk curry sauce. And it would be put under a broiler and baked, and it would be served over rice. So you've got this rice, you've got this creamy, savory curry coconut milk sauce, and you've got you know, these really beautifully crusty chicken. You would also sprinkle Parmesan cheese on top of it, stick it under the broiler so it gets like very bubbly and crusty when it comes out. And we would eat this every single Wednesday, I think. I remember eating this in Hong Kong, and I remember eating this when we came to North America. And it's just so evocative of childhood, and to the point where I've got a son of my own and I try to make that dish for him, you know, from time to time.
I love that. So here you are, you're a kid who's basically living two lives. You're living your life outside the home. You're in college at SC, so you're in LA. I would imagine you're eating Panda Express.
That's true.
And you're going home and you're having, you're basically going back to China at the table. How did you go through that mind experience of first maybe putting your nose up of what is American Chinese food and then reconciling yourself to it and eventually embracing it?
You know, the first time I ever tasted orange chicken was when I was at USC. I'm not sure if we were consciously avoiding that. I just knew that this was not the Chinese food that I ate growing up. You know, mushu pork and General Tso's chicken and egg foo young. It's, you know, it was as if my friends knew Chinese food as this one version. And the Chinese food that I grew up with was something else completely different. And it wasn't until when I was at SC and I went to Panda Express and I had that orange chicken and I thought, well, this is really tasty. It's really, really delicious. And I think it was at that moment, Evan, that I thought like, okay, this is not in competition with the Chinese food I grew up eating. If I were in Beijing and I told you about the food that I grew up eating in Hong Kong, like you would not be able to recognize that food just because the Chinese food up in Beijing is different from the Chinese food in Hong Kong, different from the one in Xinjiang and in Taiwan. And so I came to appreciate American Chinese food as its own genre. And, you know, and the fact is that good food is good food is good food. I'm not just plugging your show, but it's really, really, but it's really tasty. And I now view Chinese food as this big tent culinary genre. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the more people who come in and try it, the more entry points there are to get into Chinese food, the better. And that's kind of what we try to do with this book, is to show that it's not a monolith. It's got a lot of different entry points and it can be all super tasty.
I want to ask you about some of the food in the cookbook. We've been living through an insane chili crisp moment. That's really no longer a moment, but a shift, maybe a forever shift in condiment mania. Could the two of you give us another condiment we should make that we will take to heart equally?
XO sauce. And I think like we might be at the crest of the XO sauce mania right now, because I see a lot of great chefs do it, but I feel like it hasn't quite punched through into, like, you know, the culinary vernacular, the popular consciousness yet. But I am such a big fan of XO sauce. And have you ever had it, Evan?
Yeah, I have. But describe what it is.
The consistency is almost like a relish, I would say, okay? But it's this intensely savory, you know, sauce that has dried scallops. It sometimes has ham, it has garlic, and it's in this like chili oil. And you basically spoon it on top of noodles. And the way that I sort of describe it to people who've never had it is, if they've had bacon jam, it is like that, but made of seafood. It's like seafood jam. It's super savory. And my dad actually has a recipe. And the reason why I say XO sauce, because for Christmas one year, you know, he didn't send a card, or it wasn't like, you know, like a gift certificate to Macy's. He sent me, my hand to God, Evan, he sent me a jar of XO sauce that he made at home, that he jarred up into a mason jar that was wrapped with about, you know, a 4-inch layer of bubble wrap to make sure it doesn't leak. And he sent it to me. And to this day, it might be my favorite Christmas present my parents have ever sent me, is their XO sauce. And that recipe is actually in the book as well. So I'm very grateful for that. But yes, America should learn about XO sauce.
I mean, that's a gift of love.
You know, you're right. I mean, it's like, it's so funny you say that, Evan, because a lot of immigrant cultures that I know of, and I think it's certainly true of the Chinese, we're not very expressive about how we feel about each other. You know, we're not going to be giving hugs or blowing kisses or saying I love you or anything like that. But when we greet each other in Hong Kong, we ask them, have you eaten yet? Have you eaten rice yet, right? And so, like, that's our default way of greeting people. But to your point, you know, like, we express our love and our us caring about each other through food. The way my parents tell me Merry Christmas is with a jar of XO sauce.
Totally agree.
So let's talk about some more food. First of all, you know, as a kid growing up in LA, eating Chinese food, the restaurants at that time were all Cantonese. And I miss that food a lot because it's not so true anymore. One of my favorite things as a kid was shrimp toast. How do we perfect it?
Great question. My dad ate a lot. You and mom ate a lot of shrimp toast growing up, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So I'll tell you about the recipe that we do. You talk about a real hybrid of British and Chinese fusion food. It's shrimp toast. And so the way that we do with our recipe is that we like a little texture in the shrimp. So what we do is we finely minced half of the shrimp, and the other half we sort of chop into nice chunky pieces, and then you whip everything into a bowl. I think one thing you see a lot of Chinese chefs do is we like to whip any sort of proteins together. Part of that is about releasing the myosins in the food so that you get this very kind of like toothsome, bouncy texture. You know, the Taiwanese call it Q, right? So the way that we do our shrimp toast in our cookbook is we chop it into two consistencies. And so you get that really fine mince, which gets that really nice toothsome texture, as well as the big chunky pieces. So you know that the shrimp is legit, and you're getting, you know, nice, generous pieces as well. So that's our secret to shrimp toast.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank both of you for spending so much time with us. We really appreciate it. The two of you are just so great. And the cookbook is quite wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Evan. What a pleasure. It's so great to be on your show.
That was father and son duo, Kevin and Jeffrey Pang, who co-wrote A Very Chinese Cookbook, 100 Recipes from China and Not China. If you want to give the gift of XO sauce this Christmas, head to kcrw.com/goodfoodforarecipe. We've also got a recipe for the Pang's family Portuguese chicken there, too. In a minute, crispy egg rolls and Canton knish. It's a very Jewish Christmas when good food continues.